I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Number to join us is 216-578-0092. And you can do that as soon as we talk to our buddy from the NFL.com. He covers, he's a senior writer. And he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And we hope that the flu is over and done with and that Mark Sessler is back to 100%. Mark, the verdict, are you?
Put it at about 95%. You know, it was one of those like one-day illnesses that zapped the body, and I'm feeling much, much better today. Thanks for asking.
Well, that is good news because you don't need that, especially with what you're doing for a living.
And you're a gamer, and with the playoffs coming up, you're going to battle through every interview, aren't you?
Not going to miss a game. You know, you're going to show up. You're going to do – it's just like Baker Mayfield. You know, I don't go – the ribs, the hand situation, he's going to fight through one way or another.
What if it's too cold outside to write a story? Would that be a problem then?
Maybe, we don't know that to be a fact.
Well, we might have to bench you for you know, at least one assignment.
I think they'd keep me home in that case.
That's true. It's not that far of a bus ride, so maybe you could drive yourself.
It might work.
That's how that works.
Mark, if you weren't sick enough already, what were your impressions as to what the Browns did in Pittsburgh against a team that didn't have its starting quarterback, its starting number one wide receiver, its number one running back, and its starting center?
The Browns fan inside of me viewed it, as many would have, as just a soul-crushing defeat, and really one of the biggest games that I thought the Browns had been in of this entire return to the NFL since 1999, and a plum opportunity to sweep the Steelers, and I was extremely confident that they were going to show up and win. And what happened over the second half, to me, was just an example of, and I know there's some Steelers fans in the past that have felt iffy about Mike Tomlin, that he has created a completely different type of culture in Pittsburgh than you can look at with the Browns right now, that they had total team belief that they were going to win that game in the second half. And it's almost that they accepted and invited the challenge of having half their roster in street clothing, that they wanted it to be that way. And so I thought it was about as embarrassing a second half as you could cook up for Cleveland in a season filled with, some low points. The season essentially, in terms of playoffs, obviously is over, but it speaks to the reason that they've gotten to this point to begin with. The Browns were totally discombobulated in the second half. There's no adjustments. There's no in-game scheming to match a Steelers team that's suddenly getting hotter and hotter with each drive. I thought it was a pretty disgraceful showing.
And they've now won 6 of their last 7 games with everything that's gone wrong there. And the Browns have been relatively healthy with their key people, at least on the offensive side of the ball. And the Browns have, you know, struggled all season long, Mark. Is that strictly the difference in stability and coaching between the Browns and the Steelers, or is there anything more to it than that?
Well, I mean, it certainly, to me, points to the coaching staff. It's on the offensive side of the ball. There's just no reason for Cleveland to be falling into a deep sleep the way they do for long stretches at a time. And you could feel that game slipping away. And to see how Pittsburgh is able to take, and it wasn't just a quarterback. You know, they didn't have their obviously Juju wasn't in there at wide receiver. James Conner's not in at running back, and they found out. They found ways to, get to Cleveland with the Wildcat. They worked around Hodges until he started to heat up. That's in-game coaching. That's good game planning. And to me, there's a massive difference between the Mike Tomlin coach Steelers and anything the Browns have produced. And, you know, Cleveland has a first-year head coach, and he's learning on the fly, and it shows. And the whole operation seems to be draped in, if it's not in during the games, it's the little things like the safety not being sent to Pittsburgh in the biggest game of the year. And it's the T-shirt stuff, which I don't really mind. That Freddie Kitchens, I think that was not a great look, but I just feel like he kind of got caught in the middle of it. But you just don't see this stuff happening to the league's better teams. And so to me, it's just another chapter in what's been a very rough campaign.
I always think it's funny when we look at those stories. Like, if the Browns were winning or if the Browns would have won, everybody would have thought Freddie Shirt was hysterical, at least
Absolutely. Here.
You know,
absolutely.
And I think the little things become big things here because you're trying to find something other than the misery of not winning to talk about. I think that's just part of, you know, being a losing franchise. And
I think you're right.
And being in that position.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's to me, though, there has been an aura of, you know, you could just imagine certain things that have happened to the Browns this year would never occur under Andy Reid with the Chiefs, never occur, obviously, in New England, that you just, this stuff would never even escape up into the public domain, that they just, you have to run a tighter ship. And that's been an issue with Cleveland. And then when it does leak out onto the field and they seem sloppy to me in the field, they seem like they game plan on offense for the first two or three drives and then it completely withers away. It's just very concerning.
Mark Sessler joining us from NFL.com. On paper, Browns should win three of the last four games. You should beat Cincy twice. You should beat Arizona. You don't play games on paper. What is there to be decided in the final four games for this football team? And we think it's Freddie Kitchens' future and Freddie Kitchens' future only. Is there anything more, Mark, that you think could be decided in the final four?
That's the big picture to me, because I wouldn't be surprised if they split with Cincinnati. Cincinnati is not the same team right now that they were for the first 9-10 weeks of the season. They tested the Steelers, they tested the Raiders, they whipped the Jets. It's just, to me, concerning to look at Cleveland and say, I don't care. I don't really care what the schedule is. Like, it's possible that they could go 2-2, 1-3. I want to see, if you want to make an argument for Freddie Kitchens, dominate these teams the way that they dominated Miami. The talent lives up to its name, that the coaching improves, that there's consistency, that you close the season looking like the Browns team people expected. That's your argument. But I think the big question for Freddie Kitchens will also be, you know, now you have someone like Ron Rivera floating in the atmosphere. There are names that are going to become available. There are college coaches out there that teams are already starting to think about and pursue. And so Freddie Kitchens is going to be compared to what is out there. That's the big unfolding over the next month. What names are bubbling up and where are the Browns in terms of John Dorsey and how he views Freddie Kitchens? This was his hire.
I'm also wondering about the evolution of Baker Mayfield here and your thoughts on that. And, you know, what's going to make him better? What can he learn in the last 4 weeks? And then the other question we had to start the show was, if he's the least bit injured and you think you're not making the playoffs, is it worth putting him out on the field?
I think he can play through what he's dealing with right now. If he's already, you know, limited to some degree in practice and doing stuff in practice, and that's his, he's going to want to battle through it. But I would rather see him play if he's healthy enough, because he needs these games. He needs to grow. And when it comes to coaching, the biggest concern for me in terms of what you want to call, I guess, his regression this season, I thought he's looked pretty good in the last 3 or 4 weeks, is just that it's part and parcel of a very an offense that has no continuity from week to week, and that it's just, you have guys like Odell Beckham completely disappearing. And I can't help but wonder, if you took these same players and you put them in Kansas City, for instance, and like we just talked about with Andy Reid, what would Andy Reid have done with this roster? And where would Baker Mayfield be in year two with different coaching? I think that's the biggest concern. If you retain Freddie Kitchens and you don't see a marked difference over the next month, young players must develop. That's the number one sign of coaching in my book, is young players developing rapidly. And you're looking how quickly some of these quarterbacks are developing around the NFL. Baker Mayfield has all the talent. He should be right there with him. And we're not seeing that. And that, to me, I point to coaching. Now, it's hard to know what's going on behind team walls, but it's not a lack of talent for Baker Mayfield. It's to me, I would say, what he's being surrounded with and who's in his ear and how this is unfolding on a week-to-week basis from a coaching angle.
Do you think he's the guy here long-term? And I know he was the number one overall pick. I would assume that the organization gives him every opportunity, you know, to be the guy long-term. And I didn't think there was any question about it, Mark. But I just wonder, over the last couple of games and a good chunk of this season, I think the answer to that is yes. Do you think it is?
From where we stand right now, it is an absolutely yes for me. I believe in the talent 100%. I think he's a driven, intense leader and perfect for the Browns in so many ways. It's just been a very disappointing second year for him. But to me, that's part of a much bigger picture and a team that's not being run as well as it could right now. And the quarterback's going to suffer in that infrastructure. But in terms of, I see nothing that suggests they need to look somewhere else at that position at this point. It's not been an easy season. I think he's gone through a lot of growing pains, and that's going to happen with quarterbacks. We want them to, you know, instantly arrive as rookies and be stars, because we're seeing that with a couple of these guys out there, and it makes it tougher to have patience with the rest. Some of his growing pains, I totally, you know, I find them to be acceptable and part of the journey of a young quarterback, but there is no question that Baker Mayfield, to me, is the quarterback of the future, barring a third season where, you know, and that's a year from now, where he tails off in a completely different manner. I totally believe in the player.
Mark, glad you're feeling better.
Sound good.
Thank you, guys.
Sound good.
Mark Sessler.
Definitely brought his A game.
NFL.com. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.